From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Good to have you with us. Wow, what a day. What a week. It feels like it's, you know, every now and again you have these weeks, and it feels like it's 2 weeks stuffed into 1 week. That's what it feels like this week. Anyway, it is Friday. That means Open Line Friday, and we're going to be taking your calls on whatever you would like to talk about. All you need to do is call in our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926, and we'll be taking your calls throughout the program today. So the news coming out yesterday, and it's pretty fascinating. President Trump says there will not be a third debate. The president is done. And I am honestly, folks, I think this is the right call to make, and especially with all the information that's coming out, all the information surrounding what happened at the debate earlier this week on ABC News. And my bigger concern is with the Republican Party, and it seems to me that somebody within the Republican Party was trying to set Donald Trump up. That's what I suspect is going on here. I think there are grifters in the Trump orbit who were trying to set up the president. There's really no other way around it. How else? Now, by the way, Mark Penn, who is the former campaign advisor for political advisor for Bill and Hillary Clinton, is actually calling for an investigation. He says that ABC News needs to do an internal investigation. There is a whistleblower who's coming forward and says, we don't know who this person is, but this person says they're willing to sign a legal document saying that Kamala Harris and her team were either provided the questions in advance or they were consulted with the questions in advance. There is also reporting out there from a company that makes these listening devices and sort of like, the earpods, right? Except they look like earrings. And there was there's a lot of scuttlebutt over whether or not Kamala Harris was either wearing actual earrings or if that was some sort of a listening device where somebody could have been feeding her the answers to the questions or passing along insults to shout at Donald Trump. Now, the campaign says, no, those were Tiffany earrings and she wears them all the time. But I don't know about that, because the company that actually makes these listening devices that appear to look like earrings actually says that it really bears a striking resemblance to a product they sell. As a matter of fact, the company said they'd be more than willing to sell a pair of those to Donald Trump, but he doesn't wear earrings. Tim Walz, maybe. By the way, Tampon Timmy, what's up with that guy? What is up? I want to throw this out there, and I don't mean to throw shade at all. I'm just wondering, do you know any straight men in America that behave like he behaves? Do you? I'm just throwing it out there, just asking. I'm not insinuating anything. I'm just curious. Have you seen any straight men in America that walk around waving their hands like they're on a Broadway chorus line? Hello, Minnesota! We love you. You look fabulous. I don't know about that. I'm just saying it's a little weird and somewhat off-putting. So anyway, maybe Timmy Walz, Tampon Timmy, maybe he would wear the earrings. I don't know. But anyway, Mark Penn says there needs to be an internal investigation into ABC News and whether or not there was some sort of collusion between the news division and the Harris campaign. And so now we're coming out and you say, well, Tom, what about all this? You said that the RNC maybe. Yes. I want to know, how is it that the RNC did not know when Donald Trump stepped onto that stage that he would be grilled by Kamala Harris's sorority sister? How did nobody at RNC headquarters not know that? There's another component to all of this. How is it that the RNC had no idea that the Disney executive in charge of overseeing the news division at ABC happens to be one of Kamala Harris's best friends, one of her lifelong friends. How did the people over the RNC not know that? I just don't get it. Now, look, Marjorie Taylor Greene is out there. She is on the warpath. She said she personally called Donald Trump about Laura Loomer. And she says that Laura Loomer is toxic and that Laura Loomer needs to be evicted from the Trump inner circle. Now, Laura Loomer, and you can think what you want to about Laura Loomer, but I'm just going to share some facts about Laura. And I knew her. I first met Laura when she came onto the national scene, and this was years ago. I was still back at Fox News. And Laura and a guy by the name of Jack Posobiec, and nobody knew these two people at the time, they're the ones that jumped up on the stage. There was a lot of controversy over the Central Park Shakespeare in the Park in New York City, in Central Park. And they, I think it was a production of, I don't know, Julius Caesar, right? Etto Brute. So anyway, instead of Caesar, so Julius Caesar was wearing the togas and all that kind of stuff, but Julius Caesar was wearing a Trump mask. And so the visual for you is that all of these people were stabbing Donald Trump on the stage. That's what they were doing. So anyway, Loomer and Jack Posobiec, they rushed up on the stage and they, you know, grabbed the knives or whatever. And it caused a big controversy at the time. I thought it was pretty brilliant. So look, you can think whatever you want to think about Laura Loomer. And the latest part is she wrote a post, and I don't know if she was being silly or not. I don't know. I thought it was kind of funny. But she said, if Kamala Harris gets elected, the White House is going to smell like curry. See, it is kind of funny, right? You know what you people know. So anyway, all you know what is breaking loose. I mean, it's terrible out there. Just all you know what is breaking loose. And they're saying Laura Loomer is the worst person in America. She is Satan. And I'm just sitting back here going, really? Really? Here's a woman who has been more loyal to Donald Trump than any other person out there. And every single thing that she alleges, that she reports on, every single thing has turned out to be true. All of it. Now, you may not like her methods. You may not like the way she says things, but she is very accurate in her reporting. Very accurate. And she's not beholden to anybody. Now, I've never been on Laura's shows. Never, we correspond every now and again, but I have no reason to come out and say what I'm saying about Laura Loomer other than the fact that why are these people upset? Why is MTG upset? MTG has been part of the problem on Capitol Hill, causing all sorts of chaos and mayhem. Marjorie Taylor Greene brought a lot of people into her inner circle that are questionable. So I don't understand why MTG is doing what she's doing. But the mainstream media now has declared war on Laura Loomer, and they would have you believe over at MSDNC and CNN that Laura Loomer is actually on the ticket, that she's Trump's running mate. So anyway, there you go. That's my two cents on that. And you may have a different opinion. I'd love to hear from you. But there are a lot of people saying a lot of crazy stuff on X, and if you listen to what she said, I mean, Kamala Harris loves to cook South Indian food or South Asian food. Anybody want to say tiki masala? I'm just saying. I love Indian food as well. But it is interesting, though, if you've ever prepared Indian food, and I was, as a matter of fact, I made some chicken masala just a couple of nights ago. It was very tasty, a little too spicy for my taste. But anyway, the whole kitchen smells like curry. It's just, it happens. Well, you know, like, for example, when you make bacon, right? You're going to invite your local friendly Islamic radicals over for breakfast, and you're frying up some bacon, and the whole place smells like bacon. Okay, turkey bacon. But I'm just saying, the place smells like bacon. That doesn't make you anything, does it? I don't know. Islamophobic? I'm just saying. All right. 901-260-5926. I don't know why I'm about to share this story, but it reminded me something of my great, my beloved Uncle Jerry, who went to be with the Lord. I wrote a lot about Uncle Jerry in my books. A lot of people didn't realize he was actually a real character, and he was a real character. Anyway, he was trying to patent this anti-terrorism device. You know, this was back, this was right after 9/11, I guess. And everybody was concerned about the Islamic radicals coming into the cities and blowing all of us to kingdom come. Anyway, Uncle Jerry had a great idea. He wanted to get a vest from like Walmart, and he lined the vest with thick cut hickory smoked bacon. And he said that was his anti-terrorism vest. So when you see the Islamic radical coming at you with the suicide vest, and you're wearing your anti-terrorism vest, which is lined with thick-cut hickory smoked bacon, then the Islamic radical is going to run away because they don't want to be anywhere near. They don't want to be splattered by bacon. That was Uncle Jerry. It's a great idea, actually. Somebody may have already patented it. Anyway, we're talking about curry, and the whole point of this, folks, is that we're directing all of our anger at the wrong people here, right? We ought to be focused on what the Democrats are doing out there. We ought to be focused on the fact that Kamala Harris, when Donald Trump called her to her face a Marxist, she didn't bat an eyelash. She objected to a whole heck of a lot of stuff during that debate, but that was the one thing that Kamala Harris did not object to, because she is one. And we need to start focusing our attention not on attacking our fellow Republicans, but attacking the real enemy here, which is the Democrat Party. And they want to come after all of us. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You've asked, and MyPillow listened. The most requested offer ever. Right now, you can get the queen-size premium MyPillow for only $19.98. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and I love MyPillow, made with patented adjustable fill. It adjusts to your exact individual needs, regardless of your sleep position. And it helps keep your neck aligned. It holds its shape all night long, so you get the best sleep of your life. But that's not all. You can also get a 6-piece kitchen or towel bath set for only $25 and the brand new mattress topper for as low as $69.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Use promo code STARNS to get huge discounts on all MyPillow products, including the premium queen-size MyPillow for only $19.98. That's the lowest price ever. So don't delay. Order now. Use my promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us, everybody. So look, this is insane. The story out of Springfield, Ohio. I want to try to explain what's going on here, because there's a little bit more to it than just whether or not some Haitian dude is fricasseeing Mr. Whiskers. There's more to it than that. So when you look at the demographic makeup of Springfield, Ohio, it is predominantly a red area. So this would be Clark County, Ohio. And it is it's an area that went over 60% for Donald Trump. This is a blue-collar community. And so when you look at the people, oh, geez, hello, what? I'm trying to think of a polite way to say this. All right, here's how the media people are. And if we've got Ben Dieter around here, he'll verify this information. He's a journalism person. So let's just say that you're in Alabama, and a tornado comes roaring through the community. Here's what's going to happen. I mean, that tornado, it's destroying everything. All the million-dollar homes and the businesses, and it always hits the downtown square, and then it hits a trailer park. So here's what's going to happen. You're a local news reporter. Your news director is going to send you to the trailer park, right? You're not going to interview the banker who lost his home, and you're going to be talking to somebody at the trailer park or in the projects who's going to like give you some sort of a weird, funky thing, right? So that's what they always do. They do it every single time. And you know what I'm talking about. There's that stereotypical person who's got no teeth. You know, they weigh 500 pounds. They've got the T-shirt that's riding up past their belly button. And that's the person they're putting on the evening news, right? And that makes the, and then all of a sudden everybody thinks, well, that is a person who is representative of the state of Alabama. Weather Channel does it all the time. All the time. Drives me nuts. So anyway, that's what they're trying to do in Springfield, Ohio. They want to drag out every poor person or maybe somebody who's not well-versed in, I don't know, broadcasting etiquette, and they put them in front of the camera. But here's what's fascinating. Everybody has the same story. Everybody. And you see, the media, they look down on people like that. They look down on people who maybe didn't go to college or don't have all of their teeth or actually, I don't know, love their pets. They look down on people like that. And they're trying to portray the good, hardworking citizens of Ohio as xenophobic. That's what they're trying to do here. And I'm not going to let them get away with it on this program. But that's the underlying thing. That's the undercurrent here, is that these are just, well, these are just very uncouth people. They're trailer park trash. That's what they think. But these are good American people. And I'm here to tell you something. This kind of garbage is going on in just about every city, every town in America. You may not even know it, but they're dumping these illegals into your towns and your communities, and you are being forced to take care of these people. And it's not right. But I'm telling you right now, we have the 911 tapes. We have eyewitnesses that are speaking at city council meetings. This has been going on for a long time. President Trump yesterday talking about this. Cut number six.
Recording of 911 calls even show residents are reporting that the migrants are walking off with the town's geese. They take in the geese. You know where the geese are? In the park, in the lake. And even walking off with their pets. My dog's been taken. My dog's been stolen.
It's terrible. And yes, I mean, some people are eating cats. And by the way, this is what they do in Haiti. They're literally bringing their culture to America, right? So, again, if this is such a cultural thing, fine. If the Democrats want the Haitians to practice their culture of sacrificing the cats for the voodoo or eating the geese out of the park or whatever, fine. Don't dump them in Springfield, Ohio. Take them over to the East Hamptons. Take them over to Beverly Hills in California, or I don't know, the ski resorts in Utah or Wyoming, Jackson Hole. But they're not going to do that, right? And that tells you everything you need to know about the Democrats. These people are so sleazy. Well, can they mow my lawn? Can they? Well. Seriously, they'll hire him for yard work, but by golly, they don't want him living there. I'm just telling you, that's how the Democrats are. They're very evil people. That's all. 901-260-5926. We're going to be getting to your calls momentarily. That's 901-260-5926. I've got to play this audio real quick. This is Tampon Timmy. He said the quiet part out loud yesterday. Cut five.
Because this started, and I love this story, as a young prosecutor. Kamala Harris talked about going in that courtroom for the first time.
I'm sorry, a young what? A young prostitutor. What exactly is a young prostitutor? We're gonna get into that. Can we ask Willie Brown what that means? What's that job description look like? A young prostitutor. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, Anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jim. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, I'm concerned about Iran shipping all these missiles to Russia and China helping support them and all that stuff. Why don't the Biden administration do something about that?
Well, they want war, Jim, and they're literally stumbling their way directly into a shooting war with Russia right now.
I agree with you on that. You know, it just kind of concerns me that they're not even bringing that up, you know, and of course they're not going to, I'm sure. And on the other part, what you said earlier about Tim Walsh, you know, walking across that stage with them hands waving there with him, I thought he looked as queer as a football bat the first time I saw
him.
If he walks out with a pair of earrings on when he debates Vance, then we'll know.
Well, there you go. Jim, it is a fair assessment. Well done on the phrasing there. I haven't heard that one. Queer as a base. What did you call it? Queer as a football bat?
He looked as queer as a football bat.
Oh, geez, Alou. All right, Jim. Thank you for that observation, Jim in Lakeland, Tennessee. Let's go to Mr. Howell in North Carolina, WSIC.
Hey, Mr. Starnes, what's up?
What's going on, Mr. Howell? Got to get to it.
Oh, okay, yes, sir. What your book, and you were just saying a while ago, can the U.S. be saved? Yes, when the Lord deposits the man Donald Trump back in control of this country. And you know, and we need, and I the Lord is leading me to tell everybody about this as many people as possible, because if we need to like get it the way we're going to defeat this Democratic people, the ones that's running, then that goes with Dick Cheney and all them too, that's trying to go against Donald Trump. And the Lord is going to put us voters is going to, we're going to fire the Democratic Party. You know what I'm saying? And put the right man in office. That's all I got to say, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, and I don't know about predestination. I don't know about that. I will say this, that we get what we vote for, and in this particular case, if we don't get out and vote, I think we will be well on our way to a communist takeover in this country, and it's not going to be something that happens literally overnight, but it will happen within the 4 years of a Kamala Harris regime. No doubt about that. And I can see how quickly that we could lose a lot of our freedoms, and especially if Kamala Harris is allowed to replace, say, for example, Clarence Thomas or Justice Alito on the Supreme Court, Sam Alito on the Supreme Court. So there's a lot at stake here, Mr. Howell, and I appreciate you calling in. There is a lot at stake and a lot that we have to be focused on here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Last night, I was invited to be the MC of an incredible gathering. There is a ministry in Memphis called Confidential Care Mobile Ministry, and their job is to save babies from the abortionist. And they do some incredible work, and they partner with moms, and they work with these moms on very practical things, whether it's helping them, you know, write a resume or helping them fix their car or moving them out of an abusive relationship. I mean, it's just very practical stuff. And last night was their big fundraising gala, and it's such a worthwhile cause. And you can check out their website, Confidential Care Ministries, Mobile Ministries in Memphis. So anyway, Dr. Ben Carson was the keynote speaker. I was the MC. First of all, I was stunned by the turnout. We had a freaking hurricane in Memphis yesterday. People were turning out, you know, I don't know, bringing their boats. It was, I think, 600 people came. It was packed wall to wall. And Ben Carson gave the most fascinating speech. And he touched on a couple of themes. He's been on the radio show. He was on the show a few days ago. He was on my Newsmax TV show. And he picked up on these themes about the importance of family. And talking about how in America right now, there is not an emphasis on getting married and having children. And it was really a remarkable conversation. And, you know, Ben Carson is not a guy. He's not like a raw, you know, he's not like a come to Jesus kind of a speaker. He's very soft spoken. And you could hear a pin drop in that room last night. And he told a story about growing up in abject poverty, but thanks to his mother, and it was, again, this goes back to family. His mother made him read books, turned the TV off, and really wanted to make sure that her sons got good educations. She had a third grade education, his mother did, but she understood the importance of education to get ahead in life and to be something. And here is a guy that grew up on the streets of Detroit, went to Yale, became the youngest neurosurgeon at 33 years old at Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital. And we know the rest of the story. Presidential Medal of Honor winner. Now the chairman of the Faith Committee from President Trump. Anyway, it was a fascinating speech, and I'm sitting there watching this, and I'm thinking to myself that this is the message that needs to be delivered to every urban school in this country. Because right now in our nation's taxpayer-funded education system, they are teaching black children especially that they are victims and that they are oppressed and that white people are oppressing them. That's the message that many kids are getting in our taxpayer-funded education system right now. And I was, as I was sitting there watching and I was scanning the crowd, and I'm just, I just tell it like it is. It was a mostly white crowd. And I'm sitting here going, this is not the crowd that needs to hear this message. I mean, it was a great message last night, and it was an incredibly important event, what we were doing. But the message he delivered last night, it should be delivered in, I was thinking it should be delivered in every high school in Memphis, Tennessee. So that these young people can understand that if you want to live the American dream, you got to work hard. You got to get an education. It doesn't matter if you live in a housing project. It doesn't matter if you live in a mansion. You got to work your butt off to get and to claim your American dream. Those kids in those schools need to hear that message. They need to know there's hope. They need to understand the importance of having a mother and a father in the home. And a lot of people say, well, if, you know, they use that as an excuse if there's not. Well, you know what? Ben Carson grew up with a single mom. But that single mom made sure that his butt was reading books. It was a fascinating story last night. And I kept thinking, wow, what would it take? What would it take to get Dr. Ben Carson and his wife, who, by the way, if you haven't met Candy Carson, she is an accomplished musician, a violinist. They actually met at Yale University. She is an incredibly accomplished woman. Imagine both of them going into schools. And honestly, would you rather have a Dr. Ben Carson and Candy Carson going into these public schools or the local rap artist who made it big? Because I'm telling you, the rap artists, they're getting the access to these kids. And I really do wonder, what would it look like if we could get people like Dr. Ben Carson, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, Clarence Thomas, getting those men and women into the public schools to say, no, this is what America is really all about. This is how you can live your American dream. It was just a fascinating night. So anyway, just a few thoughts from last night. And it was a terrific gathering, just really terrific, and got to meet a lot of our listeners across western Tennessee. So good people turned out last night. Jeezalo, man, did it rain. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by the increasing cost of health insurance? Have you had enough of not having control over your healthcare dollars? Introducing ShareRight, healthcare done the right way. At ShareRight, you're not just a number. You're part of a caring community. And forget about paying excessive premiums. With ShareRight, you can save 30 to 50% compared to health insurance. Think about what you could do with all those savings. But it's more than just savings. ShareRight ensures that you have access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, with ShareRight, your healthcare is our top priority. Empower yourself today by taking control of your healthcare costs. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, welcome back, everybody. By the way, Houston, Texas, local TV report, KPRC-TV, now reporting multiple cats in Houston, Texas, cut up and mutilated in recent weeks. No arrests have been made. So this is going on all over the country, ladies and gentlemen. I just want to point that out to you. We have got a lot to talk about. There have been some new developments in the investigation into the Secret Service. We're going to get into that in the next hour of the show. Josh Hawley and Richard Blumenthal, who is a Democrat and one of the wealthiest people in the U.S. Senate, just enraged over what they have already discovered and said it will shock the American people. I don't know about you, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but I find it very hard to believe that this was all just some sort of a complete screw-up, a complete breakdown of what happened. I just find that very hard to believe. But if it's true, then everybody needs to be fired. They've just got to start all over again in the Secret Service. I mean, if it really was that big of a screw-up. But I think there's more to it. And this goes back to why they have yet to release the JFK assassination files. Everybody associated with that is dead and gone. So there's nobody to protect. Nobody, unless we're talking about a situation where the federal government was involved in the assassination. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, that may be what we're talking about here. And so I would not be surprised if that's exactly what happened with Donald Trump, that there was some sort of a deep state effort to try and get rid of Donald Trump. And I will say this, I don't believe it's going to be the last time. I think that we are in for a very wild ride between now and Election Day. Now, Donald Trump is right. He's very smart not to do any more debates. Kamala Harris is on the ropes. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. And there's really not much that she's going to be able to do to move that needle, right? It's done. She had her chance, and the American people saw through everything at that debate. My hat is off to the American people. I didn't think they were going to see what we all saw. But they did, and it's over. It's over for Kamala. So they've got to figure out a way now to get Donald Trump out of the picture. And that's why I think we are now moving into a very dangerous period of time for the Trump campaign, and quite frankly, he ought to have his own private security. That's what needs to happen here. So we're going to get into more of that in the next hour. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to share a personal story with you, if that's okay. Our family was very close growing up, and my grandmother had a large family, five brothers and two sisters. And they were just a wild, rambunctious family from South Carolina. Our Our family homestead, Dylan, our people came from the Traveler's Rest area. So that's where all of our people originally came from. And during World War II, our family was very patriotic, and all five of the brothers jumped in and joined the war effort. My uncle Don was a B-25 co-pilot in the Army Air Force, and my uncle Chico was a Marine, and he was wounded in ferocious fighting during the Battle of Iwo Jima, went on to become a star athlete at Furman University, and became a Hall of Fame football coach. Our uncle Bunny co-piloted a B-17 Lazy Baby in the massive bombing raid on Schweinfurt in Germany. His plane was shot down, and he served the rest of the war in a POW camp, Stalag 3, which was the subject of the 1963 movie The Great Escape. I mean, my grandmother's maiden name was Bolin, and so the Bolin brothers just had this remarkable storied war legacy for our family. My uncle Louis suffered frozen feet fighting in the Korean War at Lake Chosin. And my uncle Gene became an incredibly successful pilot. And I want to tell you about Uncle Gene. He was the last surviving member of the family. My grandmother's brothers and sisters, they're all gone to glory. And Uncle Gene just passed away. He was 96 years old. And it was just fascinating reading his legacy and his career. He enlisted in the Marine Corps in 47. Uncle Gene did. He was the youngest of the brothers. And he became an officer in the new U.S. Air Force. He was in the first class of air cadets to train in jets. And on the same day, this is sort of a funny story, but on the same day he was awarded his wings in Arizona, he and a classmate flew their T-33 jets inverted through the Grand Canyon. But Uncle Gene got caught, and he was kicked out of the Air Force. The same day he got his wings, he was kicked out. He was kind of like the Tom Cruise of his day. Oh, he was good-looking, too, Uncle Gene was. So then he went to Georgia Tech, and he really wanted to fly fighter jets. And so all of his brothers, so his four brothers, are heavily decorated war veterans. And so they all went to the governor's mansion in South Carolina, and Strom Thurmond, anybody remember Strom Thurmond? Strom Thurmond was very instrumental in getting Uncle Gene put back into the Air Force. And he had to serve a 2-year probation in Newfoundland, Canada, where he had to literally monitor large herds of caribou. That was his punishment. For 2 years, he had to do that. And he just had a wonderful career. He was the first. He joined the F-84 fighter squadron. Rather, he flew the F-86, the F-100s, and he was actually injured many years ago when the F-100 he was flying ended up in a flat spin and he had to eject. But Uncle Gene, in spite of all of this, just had a wonderful career. Was there in Dallas, Texas on November 22nd, 1963, when Kennedy was shot. And the entire family was actually there to greet the president. When you look at the video footage, you will see my family members there in the video footage at the airport in Dallas, Love Field. So Uncle Gene, after the military, went to go work for Boeing, and he was assigned to the supersonic transport program. He was the first person to fly those planes. And he was the chief technical pilot for the Boeing program. 27 years he worked at Boeing, and he flew every single plane made by the commercial airplane division. So if you flew a Boeing plane, you flew it you rode in that plane because of Uncle Gene. But what I loved about the story is, after all of that, whenever Boeing would sell a 747 to a country, they would send Uncle Gene, and he would become the pilot. So for years, he actually flew and was the pilot for Jackie Kennedy and Aristotle Onassis and taught JFK Jr. how to fly an airplane. He was a patriot, Uncle Gene was, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about him. He was a good man. All right. Hour two of the big show coming up. Thank you for letting me share that information. And pray for our family as we mourn his loss. This is the Todd Stern Show. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
I think the American people are going to be shocked, astonished, and appalled by what we will report to them about the failures by the Secret Service in this assassination attempt on the former president. But I think they also ought to be appalled and astonished by the failure of the Department of Homeland Security to be more forthcoming, to be as candid and frank as it should be to them in terms of providing information. And we are going to absolutely insist on the truth and the whole truth in documents and testimony as members of the United States Senate, but also as citizens.
What did you learn new today when you said they're going to be appalled? What's
I'm not going to go into what we have learned in specifics. I'm giving you my reaction. And we will have a report very, very soon that I think will absolutely shock the American people, or should, about the lapses and lags in the protection that was afforded that day and the breakdown in communication, failure in responsibility.
Is that report coming today or tomorrow?
I'm sorry?
Is that report coming out tonight or tomorrow?
No.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That's jaw-dropping audio you just heard from Senator Blumenthal, who is a Democrat. So you can only imagine the information that was shared privately with our elected leaders over the incredible security debacle that happened in Butler County, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Todd Stern's Radio Show, Hour 2. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. Open line Friday. That's 901-260-5926. I do want to go to James listening to us in South Haven, Mississippi on KWAM, our flagship station. And James, I know you wanted to weigh in on the assassination attempt.
Yes, and what makes it so terrible, it was right in your face. Everybody watching, seeing this guy get on top of this building, and looked like somebody would just came and dragged his little butt off the building. It was like, dog, Americans, we know y'all gullible. We can show y'all anything, and you won't believe it. And President Kennedy, I thought that about that many years ago, that the government, because the government didn't like him. He didn't like the secret organizations. The CIA did not like him. And they don't really like rich people that run, because they're really not beholden to these bloodsuckers that is in these corporations. So that's the same with Trump.
James, do you think the government tried to take out Donald Trump?
Yes, yes. Any kind of the government, not the government, some people in the government, because a lot of people in these organizations, they just don't care. They don't look at the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. It's just something evil in them. Any kind you can start a war, I bring this up a lot, called Vietnam on a lie. And most Americans have no idea that it was started on a lie. All the people died, people in the streets, I'm one. But I overcame all that stuff that I went through. But the point of it is, I want to say this one thing. I appalled Donald Trump. I don't care about his person or nothing. I could care less about a Democrat or Republican. When you look at it, they all in cahoots. It's just that this man represents somebody that had no ties with this government. I call him bureaucrat. And anytime Americans can see these people get in office with $100,000 a year, come out millionaires, and we ain't mad about that?
No, right. Well, let's stay on topic here, James. And again, I appreciate the call. Thank you for that. And again, I mean, when you have people like Senator Blumenthal coming out and saying what we learned is going to shock the American people, it does make you wonder what happened. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Brian Babin joins us from Texas. Congressman, good to have you with us. And we just heard from Senator Blumenthal, who shared that whatever they learned about the Secret Service is going to shock the American people. Do you have anything to add to that? Have you learned anything?
No, I have not, Todd. Good to be with you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear, Congressman.
Okay, great, great. No, I have not, and I'm curious. I'm not on that committee overseeing that in the House, but I can tell you there's a lot of strange things that occurred in that assassination attempt. So I want to see some answers. I want to find out what is going on at the Secret Service. What is Blumenthal and that group? What have they learned? So I'm curious to know as well.
Congressman, we have been paying very close attention to the SAVE Act, also the continuing resolution. What's the latest on both of those things?
Well, I was with the speaker yesterday. We've got to have a kind of a meeting of the minds. No one really is thrilled about a continuing resolution because what that does, it basically hamstrings our military, our Department of Defense, our Space Force, our space policy and everything else and programs at last year's limits of money. And, you know, things change very rapidly with a dangerous, fast-moving world with a lot of potential adversaries that are coming up with new weaponry. May start getting into a little bit being more adventuresome than they were, like China and Russia, the Iranians, Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, all the culprits. And so that is why I'm not real thrilled about a CR. But we really do not want to see this government shut down. All I can say is that, Todd, is that it appears that Schumer would like to see the government shut down and then try in some form or fashion to blame the United States, blame the Republican Conference for the shutdown, when in reality, we have actually passed over half of our appropriations bills in the House of Representatives, which is what you call regular order. They have passed zero under Schumer in the Senate. They are not doing their job. They're sitting on some excellent bills over there. In fact, the SAVE Act is one of them he already has, and they have not acted on it. We have sent them some excellent bills, H.R. 2, to be able to secure this border, the toughest, best border security bill I've seen in a decade since I've been serving, and they won't bring this up, and yet they try to tell us that the border is secure. The border is not secure. I want everyone who is listening to your program, don't take the bait on that one. Over 10 million people have come through. They're still coming through. It is a momentary lull, possibly, in some ports of entry to make it look like they are doing something on the border. They're not. It's going to go right back after November, the November election. The same way with the price of gasoline, the price of groceries. They're trying their best to release stocks of fuel that we have, set aside for emergency purposes to get the price down. It's a dirty trick, and don't buy it, Todd. This border is still out of control, and they plan on making it continue that way as soon as this election's over. They need these people. They're going to use them to vote. Every movement, every bill that we've seen, they try to enfranchise these people as much as they can. They give driver's licenses to illegal aliens in about 20 states, and then when they go get their driver's license, they register them to vote, and then they lie, just like we saw Ms. Harris do in the debate the other night. Bald-faced lying.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman Brian Babin from the 36th Congressional District in Texas. Congressman, so to go back to the CR, has the SAVE Act been attached to the CR?
Yes, it is. It is attached to the CR. And the Democrats give us this very specious, weak argument that, hey, we know it's against the law for non-citizens to vote, but we don't want to vote for this for the SAVE Act to make them prove that they are citizens when they register to vote. It just doesn't add up. Typically, right. It doesn't add up, and what the Democrats are trying to pull over the American people.
Interesting. I was watching there was a report from KPRC TV in Houston. And
yes.
There has been an uptick in the number of mutilated cats that have been found across the city of Houston. I bring that up because of the situation in Springfield, Ohio, and other cities involving these Haitian migrants who have been brought into this country. What do you tell people like the good people in Texas and Ohio that are really suffering as a result of these border policies from the Biden administration?
I tell them that to get this fixed, it's got to be a new president, Donald J. Trump. I talked to the president several weeks ago when he was on Capitol Hill and point blank asked him, what are you going to do about these illegal aliens, Mr. President? I'm going to deport them. Right now, the Biden administration is deporting less than 1% of these millions and millions that he has brought in. It doesn't matter whether they're criminals, have a history of gang activity, whether they're on the terrorist watch list or not. President Trump also asked President Trump what he was going to do with the cartels. He says, we're going to fight them tooth and nail. And so I just can tell you that Kamala Harris and the vice presidential nominee, Waltz, who, by the way, has a long, long history of connections to the Communist Chinese Party in China. He made over 30 visits there. He's got a very, very, worrisome relationship with the Chinese Party over there for many, many years. And so there you have it. We've got the most liberal ticket ever to run for the president and the vice president of the United States in Tim Walz and Kamala Harris versus Donald Trump, who has a proven track record. All people have to do, don't buy the hogwash that, oh, we've got to have, because she's a black, she's a woman, because she's this, she's that. That we need to vote for this person. Vote for this country. Vote for your kids, for your grandkids. Try to turn this thing around. Look, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago, or vice versa? I think 90% of the people have to say that grocery prices, gasoline prices, the cost of living, everything was much, much lower. You were safer to walk up and down the streets. There was a lot less likelihood of a terrorist attack. We've had over 300 people on the terrorist watch list who have been apprehended. How many have not been apprehended? You know, if it's just a fraction of a percent of millions of people coming across that are terrorists, that could still be in the hundreds of thousands. And I think the likelihood of having another 9/11 is so, so probable. With the way the Biden-Harris administration
right.
have left us wide open.
Yeah, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. We are up against a hard break. We really appreciate you coming on the program today. Have a great weekend.
You too. God bless. Thank you, Todd.
All right. You got it. Congressman Brian Babin from the 36th Congressional District in Texas. By the way, this is coming from townhall.com. I don't know how valid – well, it's Town Hall, so it's this is a pretty reputable news site. One of their reporters is saying that they're being told the GOP is currently vetting career-ending information on Tim Walz, but they declined to disclose what the opposition specifically was, what that oppo was. Interesting. I know where people are going with this. But I'm wondering if it has more to do with his ties to China. That's what I'm wondering. All right, we do have to take a break. It is Open Line Friday today. Our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, by the way, if you haven't gotten a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, what are you waiting for? President Trump says it's the one book you need to read before the presidential election. You can get a copy at your favorite bookstore. I will autograph a copy for you if you want to buy one over at toddstearns.com, and now in paperback as well. All right, let's go to the phones. Janine in Texas. Hi, Janine. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. How are you? I wanted to talk about, because you were just talking about JFK, and I never hear anybody talk about this, but he's quoted as saying when he was president, he uncovered a plot at the White House to enslave every single American. And before his term was up, he was going to put a stop to it. And he was assassinated 2 weeks after that. And I believe your people just confirmed that that was true. That was a quote from JFK.
Well, I have my people. I'm not sure what my people. So what was the quote from JFK?
The quote was, when he became president, I uncovered a plot to enslave every single American in this country at the White House. And he said he was going to put a stop to it before his term was up. And he was assassinated shortly after that. I believe it was 2 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you what, Janine, I'll look into that. If my staff verified that quote for you, is that right?
Well, the woman I spoke with, I don't know her name, but she said she was going to verify it.
Okay.
But she put me on with you.
I see. Okay. All right. Very good. Well, Janine, we'll check into that. I can tell you that years ago, the Associated Press actually researched this, and they said that was actually a fake quote, that they don't have any record of Kennedy actually saying those words. So again, that information coming from the Associated Press. So if you know of the quote, or if anybody out there has heard of it, send it over and we'll take a look at it.
Okay. The only place I saw it on Amazon, actually. Amazon has a bunch of quotes from all different presidents, and that was one of them. From JFK.
Sure. Well, we'll look into it, Janine. And again, at least in the Kennedy era, and really all the way back through at least FDR, you know, if there was something said, there's usually audio of it. But we'll look into it, Janine, and we'll let you know one way or the other. How's that?
Yes, and if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I do believe that we killed him. Our own country killed him.
Oh, Janine, I have no doubt about that. No doubt whatsoever. And I would not be surprised if they're allowed to release that information. And again, for Senator Blumenthal to come out and say what he said, and Janine, you heard it, for a Democrat to come out and say that, that must mean whatever they've got is explosive.
Oh, yeah. And Trump said he has it all.
Yeah.
Trump
all right.
has it all.
Janine, thank you for that. Got to run. We are super late for a break here. And folks, we will try to find that information, and we'll let you know one way or the other. If something is accurate or not. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Just want to follow up with our wonderful caller, Janine from Texas, who wanted to weigh in on a quote that's circulating out there about JFK, and it's simply not true. It's made up. It's make-believe. It did not happen, and we can confirm that JFK never said there was a plot in the country to enslave every man, woman, and child. So I don't know where that information came from, but it is simply not true. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to the Springfield story for just a moment. We're going to get to your calls. Hang tight, everybody. There is a new report out involving a woman in Springfield, Ohio, who says that she has been followed, groped, among other things, amid this Haitian migrant influx into the community. Spencer Lindquist is an investigative reporter for the Daily Wire and joins us this afternoon. Spencer, good to have you back. What's going on in Springfield? What have you discovered?
Well, thank you very much. And I've been in Springfield since Tuesday, and I got there just in time for a city commissioners meeting that was packed, and virtually everybody who was there to speak about the issue of the Haitian migrants who've moved into the town. There's an estimated 20,000, anywhere from 15 to 20,000 Haitian migrants who've come into Springfield, Ohio, in just the last couple of years. And this is a town of about 58,000 people, so it is a massive, drastic increase in the city's population. People are saying that the social services are overburdened and overwhelmed, and that their public safety has also deteriorated in light of this massive influx of Haitian migrants.
So the locals, what are they telling you, and how are they reacting to how the national media is trying to portray them as xenophobes or, you know, just, you know, country bumpkins?
Yeah, so I spoke with a young family there, including one gentleman who's lived in Springfield his whole life, and he's very glad that there is increased media attention on it. But what he did say is that there's a lot of people around town who maybe otherwise would want to talk or have tried to be vocal about the issues, and that oftentimes they get shut down as racist or bigoted or xenophobic, you know, really this grab bag of terms that's commonly used to shut down a conversation and dialogue about these types of issues. So I think people are very grateful that there's more coverage and more attention on their town, and it's something that I believe a lot of them feel is long overdue.
You've been there for a couple of days, and I'm curious, tell us about Springfield. What kind of a town is it, and what are some of the things that you've seen while you've been there, Spencer?
You know, it really is an all-American town in many ways. It's got a quaint downtown, some beautiful architecture. It really is all-American. And I think that really underscores what a lot of the people on the ground have been telling me, which is they all ask the question, why Springfield? This is a town of under 60,000 people before the migrant influx. Why Springfield? We've got Columbus nearby, which is, of course, a much larger city, Cincinnati, places that, regardless of whether or not these migrants should be in the country to begin with, these are places that seem to be more well-equipped to handle such a drastic population increase. People have been saying, why us? Why here? And who's responsible for it? And something that people have been saying is that Springfield is one of these towns that really it could be any town in America, any town in the American heartland. And the fact that these Haitians have been brought to Springfield specifically, it's in a way mind-boggling, because it doesn't seem like a logical place for 20,000 people to be dropped off virtually overnight. And that's left a lot of residents questioning why them. Why their town. But many have concluded that this is something that was going to happen to some city in America because of the Biden-Harris administration's policies and the extension of temporary protected status. And it just so happened that it's this little town, little quaint, all-American town in Ohio, you know, nestled between some of the larger cities in the area.
Spencer, and again, folks, we have Spencer Lindquist on the line. He is in Springfield, Ohio, an investigative reporter for the Daily Wire. Spencer, what the local leaders are saying, though, is something very different. They're saying there's really not a problem there, which is sort of weird, because it was, what, about a month or so ago, you had the city manager saying that they were at wit's end with all of this. But now everything is hunky-dory. What's going on there?
Yeah, it is a very odd situation. I can say that from the actual people there on the ground, the residents, people who live there, people who have lived there their whole lives, homeless people as well who are reliant on these social services, I can say that conclusively everybody that I've spoken to does have an issue with this influx. And some of the most common concerns is the public safety. There's the crime aspect. I talked to multiple people, multiple women who said that they don't like to go shopping alone anymore. One of whom said that she really doesn't leave her house unless she is bringing her 120-pound pit bull and a firearm on her hip. And I spoke with a gentleman who says that he and his wife, they haven't had any issues in the last 10 years. They just recently had a car break-in, and now they try and shop in other neighboring cities and avoid Springfield stores altogether. So I can say conclusively that all the residents that I've spoken with have had some issue with this migrant influx, whether it's crime, whether it's driving, it's deteriorated road safety because of many of these migrants not being able to drive properly, or whether it's a strain on social services that are just not equipped to handle the mass of people who are needy and who are requiring their services.
And, of course, that poor little 11-year-old boy who was killed when the migrant crashed into the school bus, injuring, you know, several dozen other kids, is just absolutely unacceptable and heartbreaking what's happened to this town. Spencer, one final question here. Do they feel like the citizens, do they feel like they've been abandoned by their federal government?
When I speak with them, there is a lot of blame to go around. A lot of it goes to the Biden-Harris administration. Of course, we've had a more illegal immigration in the past 3.5 years than at any point in American history. And it's been so drastic that it's affecting every single state in the country. It's not just Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, California. It's not just your border states. It's states like Ohio now. So residents are concerned about the state of our federal politics, and they also feel that the city manager, that the city commission, and that members of the state government should also be doing more to protect them and to defend their interests as they deal with a drastic surge in population that was ushered in by the Biden-Harris administration and has seemingly been allowed by other people at other levels of their government.
All right. Well, Spencer, good reporting. Be safe up there, my friend. It is not not a good place to be right now. And folks, go to Daily Wire and you'll be able to read Spencer's on-the-scene reporting from Springfield, Ohio. Spencer, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. There you go. Wow, what a mess. What a mess. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Spencer's right. It's come at every town in America. And the whole point of this is to destabilize our country. They want our cities and towns, they want our communities to be turned into these third world refugee centers. And it is going to destroy this nation. It's very simple. Let's go to Eileen in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Eileen. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. I was thinking that it's not that far a stretch for people that have come from these poor countries that are starving, that they would eat things that we would find abhorrent. And some of the proof of this is, like, in China, they eat bats. In Venezuela, there was a video out years ago, I think in 2018 or something, where they were eating the dogs and the cats because they're starving. So why is it such a stretch that it's normalized for them? And why is it such a stretch that that wouldn't be happening? You know, so I don't know. That's all. I don't know. You've been in New York, right, Todd?
I have seen things in New York I wish I had not seen, Eileen.
Okay.
Telling you.
I'm a New Yorker, as you well know, and it's a common knowledge in New Yorkers that we will not eat Chinese food. So we won't eat it. At least the smart people.
I have seen what you have seen, Eileen.
You have a great day.
I know. All right. Thanks, Eileen. Hello. Yeah, I try to stick to Chick-fil-A. That's and some Italian joints. All right. And again, going back to what Spencer's reporting, these people just feel like they've been abandoned. Right? It's just not right. It's just not right. All right. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina, WSJS. Bill, what's going on?
Well, Todd, after the seriousness of what's going on in Springfield, I just thought I would try to inject a little humor here today and maybe to enlighten someone's day. But also as a public service announcement, Krispy Kreme is offering buy a dozen at regular price, get your second dozen for 13 cents since it is Friday the 13th.
Wait, what? You're not pulling a fast one on me, are you, Bill? This is the real deal? Don't be joking about Krispy Kreme, Bill.
Oh, no. It's a real deal, Todd. I bought my stock early today.
Oh, that's right. It is Friday the 13th. I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah.
How did I forget about that?
So it was their special. It's buy a dozen for regular price,
because I saw the Hot Now sign, and I'm like, oh, Chuck, I better call Todd.
Well, I'm glad you did. We were thinking about putting one of those Hot Now signs out in front of our broadcast studios here, you know, but we're hot all the time, so what can I say, Bill?
That's right.
All right, Bill, no, I have verified. I'm glad you did this. You are correct. 13 cents today, ladies and gentlemen. You buy any dozen, and you're going to be able to get 13 cents for the original glazed dozen. I like that. What a great idea. Bill, thank you for the update and the PSA. God bless you. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jerry in Daytona, Florida. Listen to us on WOCA. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I tell you what, I'm getting my money's worth here today on this show. Well, first of all, I was on pins and needles till you verified that JFK never made that statement, because I thought possibly he came across Kamala Harris's dad's thesis college. So, you know, I'm glad that that JFK never made that statement. Just a couple things. Number one, on July 16th, I called you and I said that regarding the Secret Service, when it was fresh after the assassination attempt, I said at a minimum it was going to be intentional incompetence. Don't know if it's going to go past that, but there's no doubt that people were intentionally not doing their job, I believe. And I think that's at a bare minimum. It could go farther, like what the one congressman had said. And the main reason I called, and since I'm a news junkie, something crossed my desk when I was sitting in my office, and the Mayor Adams decided he's under a lot of heat because the African-American community is upset about the migrants and the illegals, and they're not getting the attention that they believe they deserve for putting him in office. He just passed the council there a $1.5 billion study, and it has to be completed in 12 months on reparations. And at first, I was just going to delete it, and then I read into it. They have 12 months to spend the $1.5 billion on a study, and it said the impact of slavery and if reparations are needed. And I start doing the math, which is really simple math. They have to, what, they're supposed to spend over $1 million, you know, they're supposed to spend $1.5 million in 12 months. I mean, that's bizarre.
Well, I did read that report out of the New York Post today about the reparations study. You've got people there that are just ferociously angry at what the government's been doing in New York City. And I'm saying if they pass this you watch what's going to happen, Jerry. If they pass this reparations law, you will have major corporations bolting New York City. So many have already done that. And you're going to have a situation back, and this goes all the way back to, oh, geez, Alou, John Lindsay. This is back in the 1970s. Remember when New York City was bankrupt and they were begging the federal government for a handout and Gerald Ford said no? And one of the papers, it may have been the New York Post or Daily News, basically had a big front page headline that said, "Drop dead, Gerald." It was just, people were really enraged. But I think we're heading back to another time where you could see so many people moving out of New York City because of this, that the city could go bankrupt. I mean, they're in dire straits right now because they have allowed criminals, they have allowed the illegals to basically turn that into a war zone where no one is safe. So, Jerry, it's a fascinating story. We're going to be following it. The same thing happening in California, by the way. And the reality is this, and I just want to share this, and I know this may trigger some people out there. And, Jerry, thank you for the call. This may trigger some people out there, but hear me on this. For at least the past 100 plus years, there have been no slaves in America. I know that's hard for people to believe, but yeah, people are not in chains right now. There are, if you drive across the Mississippi Delta with the vastness of the cotton fields and the soybean fields, you will not see a single black family out there chained together, working the fields, singing spirituals. You're not going to find that. I know that's sad for people, and it's hard for people to understand, but it's true. You're not, at this very moment, there are not white plantations that are being staffed by black slaves. It's not real. If you go to a school right now, a public school across America, they will be teaching kids that back in the 1980s and the 1990s that slavery existed in the United States of America. And it's just simply not true. So I know that triggers people, but I just want you to hear that. So anyone who is alive today, anybody, any single person who is alive today has never been impacted by slavery. Period. It's that simple. Got to take a break. Geez, a little late. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, head over to the Todd Stearns Show website. That's toddstearns.com. And I would love for you during the break to go check out our store. We have so many wonderful things for you, for your family. And I really do want you to get a couple of books. Number one is Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? President Trump said this is the one book that you need to read before Election Day. And before anybody was talking about communism this election cycle, I was writing about it in the new book. So, again, what is old is new again, and that's why you need to be aware of what we are dealing with and what is literally at stake on Election Day. So get yourself a copy, and I want you to get your teenager to read this book. Also, many of you have asked, and we are working on another devotional book. You're going to really love it. It's a patriotic-themed devotion book. It should be out later on this year. But in the meantime, I would love for you to pick up a copy of our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. My good friend Michelle Cox and I wrote this book together, and we have gotten so many incredibly kind messages from folks who have not only enjoyed the devotion, but have also enjoyed the delicious recipes that we put in the book as well. So you can get both of those signed, autographed copies at toddstearns.com, or you can really get the books at your favorite bookstore. We keep them all very economical, so we believe in economizing here on the Todd Stearns radio program. All right, we've got to take a break here, folks. Hour three of the big show, Open Line Friday. So get those calls coming in today, folks. 901-260-5926. Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. So happy to have you with us today. By the way, Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. We've got a lot going on this hour of the program. I want to go to the phone lines, though. Again, we've got some big stories happening today, and we'll bring those to you. Let's go to John in Georgia, WTUN.
Oh, hi, Todd. I thought that President Trump needs to go back and use the old Lyndon Johnson ad of the girl sitting in the field counting the daisies and have Kamala Harris's hysterical laugh in the background and then that explosion. I think he needs to use that. I think I'll get him a few votes.
You know, that was an insanely powerful ad, the LBJ Daisy ad, with the little child and the nuclear bomb going off, and it scared the living daylights out of everybody.
Well, they need to use it again because we're on the verge of that. That Ukraine war doesn't end here soon. If Trump don't get elected and go to Moscow and negotiate some kind of peace treaty between Zelensky and Putin, this woman can't do it. Everybody better get ready for a nuclear war.
Well, and that could happen sooner than you might think, John. Yesterday, the reporting came out that our Secretary of State is currently in Ukraine, Antony Blinken, and they're giving the okay for the Ukrainians to launch missile strikes deep into the heart of Russia. When that happens, John, we are basically in a de facto state of war with the Russians.
They're insane. They're absolutely insane.
It is. John, you're absolutely right, and thank you for the call. Let's go to Gwendolyn in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Gwendolyn. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. I just heard your story about slavery. Well, I was born during the Depression. I'm a Caucasian 87-year-old woman. And as a child, we would ride down the street, and I would see these criminals with striped clothes on and a thing around their leg. And they had to get out and work. They couldn't just sit in the bunk. And I asked my mother, she says, well, honey, those are criminals. Well, as a little girl, that was very devastating for me. But what my whole point is, United States of America, our people are weak. We are so weak. We've got all these people, and we just say, well, we've got all these people. Somebody help us. Somebody help us. Why can't we help ourselves? Because of the laws. It's the law that's stopping people standing out. Maybe they'll have to brick around their houses like they do in Manila.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand the connection there, Gwendolyn.
Well, the connection was you were talking about slavery. You were talking about you can ride down and see the cotton fields. You don't see any slaves out there. Well, that brought up the memory of seeing these convicts working on the roads and in the forest in North Carolina when I was a little kid, and they had shackles on their legs, and they wore striped suits. So it just brought up that memory, and then I realized in my mind that we are a weak country. We don't do that to people anymore because we're too nice. We don't make the criminals work, or we don't make the people coming in our country work. That's all.
Well, Gwendolyn, thank you so much for that call, and we appreciate you listening to the program. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax tonight, President Trump, by the way, says Newsmax is terrific. Mike Huckabee says he's tuning in like millions of Americans. Newsmax is now the fastest growing cable news channel in America. You can watch Newsmax on cable, streaming, or on the free Newsmax app. And Newsmax has announced it plans to go IPO very soon. For a limited time, eligible investors can even buy preferred shares in Newsmax. They come with a 7% dividend. You can get details on Newsmax's IPO and shares by going to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Forbes says Newsmax is a news powerhouse. By the way, you can even buy shares with a credit card, which is pretty cool. They make it very easy. NewsmaxInvest.com. We'll be right back. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. Here is President Trump yesterday talking about ABC News, cut number 9.
Crime is down all over the world except here. Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But
Vice
excuse President
me, the
Harris,
FBI defraud. They were defrauding statements. They didn't include the worst cities. They didn't include the cities with the worst crime. It was a fraud, just like their number of 818,000 jobs that they said they created turned out to be a fraud.
President Trump, thank you.
There you go. And it's true. Trump was fact-checking ABC News while they were trying to fact-check him, and his fact-checks were actually correct. As a matter of fact, President Trump was talking about this, cut number 6 in the speech yesterday.
recording of 911 calls even show residents are reporting that the migrants are walking off with the town's geese. They take in the geese. You know where the geese are? In the park, in the lake. And even walking off with their pets. My dog's been taken. My dog's been stolen.
Yeah, it's true. He's absolutely right. By the way, Senator Bill Hagerty, one of the great statesmen in our country, Senator Bill Hagerty himself, was on CNN with what Eyebrows Colin is her name, Caitlin Collins. And this conversation actually came up. Cut number four.
Do you, one of the fact checks, though, had to be about the Haitian immigrants. Do you believe that, that he should not have waded into that, given officials in that city say there's no evidence of it?
Well, you're talking about evidence. I've heard conflicting reports. There's conflicting evidence. Like there's a lot of information on the Internet that this is happening.
We have not heard from one city official who said that Haitian immigrants are abducting pets or doing that. And, you know,
the
I was
city
thinking,
officials aren't the only source. There are plenty of people who are saying this is happening. So I think it just needs to be verified. But the real point is
we've
that,
talked
that
to
immigrants...
multiple people there, the police commissioner, people there who've said that there's just no evidence of it.
Who? Who did you talk to, Caitlin Collins? I want to know who you talked to. Because we've got Spencer Lindquist from the Daily Wire, boots on the ground, talking to all sorts of people. As a matter of fact, a lot of people showing up at the city council meeting, are they all lying? And if that's the case, why were they not called out immediately on the spot? I mean, they had all the city leaders there. So if, in fact, these Haitians were out there eating pets or sacrificing the pets or doing whatever they were doing to the pets, why not just refute that publicly from the city council chambers if in fact it wasn't going on? But we know it's going on simply because of the 911 calls. And now, well, as a matter of fact, cut 15, please.
And it's nothing but immigrants over there, and I don't even want to like seem like I'm coming down on the immigrants, because it's the people that's bringing them down here, because wherever they're at, that's what they're used to, bro. They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like,
we've lost a whole bunch of cats. There was a van load of van pulled over that had over 100 cats in it with the Haitians. They said they was eating them.
Actually,
yeah.
Not fake news.
Not fake news.
So a van was collecting cats and eating them.
I watched it happen, yeah. Watched them get pulled over with the cats and admit to the police that they was eating them.
You're not joshing with me.
No, I'm almost 50 years old, buddy. I don't, no. Nah.
You don't mess around.
No.
All right. So Russell Moore, who used to be with the Southern Baptist Convention, this guy is a radical leftist who used to work for Democrats, and he claims he's a conservative. This guy is now in charge of Christianity Today, which is a far-left religious news publication. And Russell Moore says the cruelty to and lying about Haitian immigrant families is satanic to the core. Children are terrified and God is mocked. The time for repentance is now. So, according to the editor of Christianity Today, all of you people out there saying that it's time to that these people are out there, you know, eating pets and killing the ducks and the geese, that you guys are satanic and you have to repent. So my question is this. It is happening. All right. So there's no doubt about that. My question is, do the people like the Russell Moores of the world and CNN and MSDNC, are they okay with that? Do they believe that we should accept their culture, this Haitian culture of sacrificing animals? Do we have to accept that as American citizens? Yes or no? I mean, it really is that simple. But this is what we're dealing with here, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Tim Burchett, I got to play this for you. We always have a big problem on this program. We never can figure out how to pronounce Tim Burchett's last name. So it's either Burchett or Burchett or Burchett. People pronounce it all different sorts of ways. And it's just one of those names where you never can get it right. You know, it's nothing intentional. It's just, all right, well, Congressman Tim Burchett. It's Burchett. What? Yeah, that's what I said, Burchett. No, it's Burchett. So anyway, this was brought up in a conversation. The congressman from East Tennessee was invited on one of the cable news channels. And he was asked about this, and because he's out there and they're accusing him of being a racist because of the way he pronounces Kamala Harris's last name. What does he call her? Kamala? Kamala? Now I can't remember. What's the correct? I can't remember the correct pronunciation here. Anyway, Burchett was asked about this, and here's how he responded. Cut number 8.
Congressman, the vice president pronounces her first name Kamala. You mispronounce it. Do you do that on purpose?
No, ma'am. I don't know how she pronounces it. This is the first time anybody's ever told me that. How did I say it?
You said Kamala, and it's Kamala.
Kamala, okay. Well, my last name's Burchett, and I dare say nobody's ever, Sean Hannity's never, it would never, didn't even get my name right when I was on there, and I don't pitch a fit. So it's Kamala.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I stand corrected. Thank you. And somebody's going to say you're showing bias to her by correcting her and not correcting anybody for me. But I see that as just you being very kind to me. So I'll take it as that.
Ooh, well, I threw a little shade there, but it's a valid point, right? So every criticism you have, and this is the argument coming from CNN and MSDNC. Any criticism you might have of Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris, any criticism you might have, you know, I just don't like her. I don't like her the way she did her hair this time. You know, that dress, I'm not sure that's a good look for her. Any criticism you might have is racist. You're a racist. That's it. It doesn't matter. You're a racist. Mispronounce the woman's name, you're a racist. You don't like the way she combs her hair? You're a racist. The cackle? You racist? You see how it works? I'm just telling you. That's the way it's going down. All right. 901-260-5926 is our number. Senator Marsha Blackburn has a new ad out on Law and Order. Cut one.
Cashless bail. You hear the term. It means these criminals are back out on the streets immediately. We've seen it here in Tennessee, in Memphis. Crime is rising 50%.
Right. When someone goes out and breaks the law, there should be more accountability than them going in there doing a little bail bond.
And it just empowers the criminal element that, hey, if they're not going to do that, hey, we're just going to keep it up.
These are the things that really have a lot of families concern, that presence of crime. What is driving that? Cashless bail policies, the fact that these criminals are apprehended, and then you have prosecutors and judges that let them out immediately. We need to be fully funding, not defunding, the police and law enforcement. My Restoring Law and Order Act would get those resources right to those local law enforcement agencies. That's where the help is needed.
Well, good for you, Senator Blackburn. And that is a big deal. And you're going to be hearing this narrative coming from the Harris-Walz campaign that crime is actually down in America and especially in many of our major cities. Well, it turns out, and by the way, this was brought up during the debate, and Trump said, hey, look, they're actually not reporting all of the crime data. So the numbers, you can't trust the numbers. And President Trump is out there saying, and he's calling the violent crime stats, and according to the FBI, violent crime in America is down. If you go and talk to the City Hall of Memphis, Tennessee, they will tell you, no, crime is down now. It's down. You know why it's down? Why they're saying it's down is they're not allowing the police to report any instances of crime. The City Hall literally stepped in and told the communications department over at the police department, no, we release the crime press releases. If there's been a murder or a shooting, we will decide what the public needs to know. And so that's what's happening in cities all across America. And we are seeing this up close and personal here in Memphis, Tennessee, where the government leaders, who are all Democrat, by the way, they are now stepping in and saying, no, we get to decide what the public needs to know. You, little news reporter, you no longer have a right to go and ask the public information officers over at the police department whether or not there have actually, you know, been crimes committed or if there's been a shooting. So then they turn around and they release these press statements, and all of a sudden crime is down, 20-30%? And it's simply not true. They're just not reporting the crime. And that's what Trump was saying, that these numbers coming out from the FBI, it's all a big fraud. And ABC is like, oh, well, you can't say that. No, yeah, you can say that, because that's exactly what's happening here. And the American people, I think the American people understand what's going on here. They know it's not safe to go out there and into some of the inner cities. The people in Chicago South Side, they get it. They see these very bad people out there, these illegals being moved into their communities, into their neighborhoods, and they're being shoved aside. You've got parents in Chicago South Side right now who are going to city council meetings, and they're saying, hey, look, you know, our kids are no longer allowed to play football, or they can't use the community center because you're housing all of these young men of military age who happen to be illegal aliens. People see that. And the average American also sees, for example, when you go down to Food Lion or Kroger or Publix, they see the prices. So they know. I know what Kamala Harris said, but not once in that debate did Kamala Harris explain how she was going to lower food prices, how she was going to tackle inflation. Not once did she do that. Donald Trump, he's been all over it. All right, got to take a quick break, everybody. Hang tight. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. And that bit of audio from a great movie. It's not the original Scotty, but it's the new version of Star Trek. And, of course, our next guest is a huge Star Trek fan. And it's a little bittersweet around the Todd Stearns Radio Show. When I bought KWAM, the news radio station here in Memphis, the station was known more for being off the air than it was for being on the air. And I immediately set out to find a full-time chief engineer. And we were very fortunate to find that guy. And he has done a phenomenal job and really rebuilt the radio station from the ground up. And he is putting in his retirement papers. Our good buddy Chuck Condren, the chief engineer of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Chuck, happy retirement.
Well, thank you, thank you. I've never retired before, so we'll see how it goes.
Is that so? This is the first for you then? So you haven't retired and then jumped back into the workforce?
No,
you're done?
No. I'm done as far as I know. You know, unless my wife kicks me out or something and says, get back to work. You know,
I can't imagine Mrs. Condren with that. Mrs. Chief Engineer. She's a lovely lady.
She is.
Well, and you're a huge Star Trek fan, too. And your office is really a Star Trek museum.
Yes, that's probably the first thing I installed here at the Big Stearns Media Group was a picture of Spock and some starships and all kinds of cool stuff.
Were you always a Trek fan from like back in the 1960s when the first original series came on?
Yeah, because I remember my parents watching it, you know, because as a kid, you know, your job was to go change the channel, you know, because they didn't have remotes. So, you know, I always remember turning it on and there was Star Trek.
The staff has no idea what you just said and explained it.
Yeah, the old TVs didn't have remote control. You had to physically get up and turn a knob to change the channel.
I remember one of my best friends, I was over at his house and we were watching TV and all of a sudden the channel changed without anybody touching it. And I'm like, I got freaked out and I turned around and his dad had a remote control. And I went home and I'm like, Dad, you know, Johnny's family is really rich. They've got a remote control. They don't even have to. It was kind of a shock. We didn't know those things existed.
No. Yeah, those made everything easy. People have no idea. And telephones, you know, you had to actually put your finger in there and make this little knob go around to make it call people.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, if we actually had a landline here, I don't think the staff would know how to use it.
No, not at all.
They don't even know how to use the smartphones. They don't even respond to our text messages.
Yes, exactly.
So you've been in the radio business. I mean, you've had a really an incredible career. How long have you been doing radio?
Since 1978, it started at Cool TV Radio, AM, FM, and started out as an engineering trainee and did a little on-air work part-time off and on. And I found out that engineers got paid a lot more than the part-time DJs.
This is true.
So I switched careers because I was going to be a DJ. That was my my goal, but...
So you were you here in the South for most of your career, or out on the West Coast?
It was West Coast, started in Phoenix. That's where Cool TV was, and was there for about 8 years, and then went up to Salt Lake City for 17 years. Then back to Phoenix, ended up working for iHeart Corporate and did corporate IT work and engineering and traveled all over most of their markets.
And then came here to KWAM in Memphis, which we it really was a great day when you came on board with the team here.
Yeah, I went from a stressful, you know, corporate world where you were just a number into a complete family environment.
With no money. Yeah, we haven't.
No, you've taken care of the place. You should see this place. It's a palace compared to some of the places I have seen in my career.
It's been a lot of fun to watch you put everything together, and it's you know, when you think about the logistics and the technology, and what impresses me about you is back in the 1970s, that was the era of the carts, you know, in the radio business. You know, there was not much computerized then.
Yeah, well, actually, when I first started, it was turntable still.
Wow.
And for you young people, those are those round things, you know, that are coming back. You know, they call them vinyl now. And then, yeah, then it was carts, then CDs that they put in these little plastic things to make them like carts.
I remember that.
And then now everything's on computer.
Was that a hard process for you to just keep up? Because it seems to me with the engineer, you never stop learning.
Yeah, it wasn't too hard because, you know, the factories that make these things show you, you know, all about it and how they work. And that was part of their deal. You know, hey, here's this new thing. And a lot of times they would send you this stuff for free just to get you on board with it. Probably the biggest jump was going from hardware like that to computers, and I basically taught myself all of the computer stuff. So
what was that experience like in Arizona? You told a story with Ben Dieter about a guy you were almost a hostage.
I was coming out of the TV news studio where they did the 6 o'clock news. And I was trying to keep this friend of mine from coming out because he always came out exactly at 6 o'clock, and it kind of bothered me. It's like, he's going to come out at 6:01 today, and I'm trying to keep him out. And if I had done that for maybe 1 minute longer, I would have been a hostage, because as soon as we come out of the studio, we hear screaming and someone's yelling, "There's a gunman in the building. There's a gunman in the building." And some guy had walked into the studio, a guy named Joe Billy Gwynn, shot a bullet into the ceiling of this news studio.
Wait, his name was Joe Billy?
Joe Billy
Gwynn.
They
always have the double names, don't they?
And he walked right up to the anchor, who was still sitting behind the desk, put the gun right up to his temple, and he had a little battery-operated portable TV. And he says, "I know you can fake this. And until I see myself on this TV, because I want to read this, basically a manifesto, everyone here in here is a hostage." So this went on for quite some time. I mean, the guy literally was just holding this gun. And I remember they were calling the FCC, and there were SWAT guys out there. And the FCC said, you know, "Yeah, do whatever." They were afraid, like, can we legally put them on the air? It's like, you know, there's a life at stake here. And this is back when the TV show Dallas was on. And here's J.R. Ewing on the screen. And then, boom, they pop out of it. And Bill Close was the anchor's name. And he goes, "Hi, I'm Bill Close, Channel 10. This is Joe Billy Gwynn. He'd like to read something." And he read this thing for about 15 minutes. Then he says, "Thank you," puts the gun down, back into Dallas. And typical news people, they come out of Dallas. If you'd like to know what happened, please make sure you tune in to Channel 10 News.
My God.
They teased it.
Is the anchor still alive? Tune in later. Tune in after Dallas.
It was amazing.
Wow.
One of the more exciting times of my life. Scary, but exciting.
when I bought KWAM, they told me out at our tower site, tower location, that it floods a lot. And so we would need a boat because in the winter and the spring floods, you can't access it unless you do have a boat. And they said, be sure you get a baseball bat or a gun. And I said, well, what do we need that for? And they said, well, the water moccasins.
Yeah.
And they would I guess those snakes are very aggressive and they will actually try to jump up in the boat. So I thought, instead of doing that, I'll just hire an engineer to go out there and do that for me.
I think I told you I'm going to do everything for you, but get in the boat with the moccasins.
That's true.
That.
Fortunately, we didn't have to do that. Chuck Condren is our chief engineer for the past. How long have you? It's what? Almost 4 years.
Yep.
Almost 4 years.
4 years in March.
When I bought the station. Yeah, that's right. Wow. It's been a lot of fun. Have you enjoyed your broadcasting career over the years?
Yep. For the most part, it's been pretty good. You know, there's always good days, bad days, like you have with any job. But what I always liked about it, it was different every day. Every day you come in, there was something different going on.
Yeah.
You know,
you also have some connections with Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Lahr and a bunch of really radio celebrities.
Yeah. Back when I was learning computers, one of the people I worked for wanted a call screening some software, and the corporate engineer knew how to write software. And he says, I want you to write a call screener. And for the people out there, talk show hosts like Todd Starnes, they have a piece of software that tells them who's on the line, what do they want to talk about. And this station didn't have it. And he goes, I want you to write it. And I said, well, I don't know how. He gave me all the books on software, and I wrote a call screener that eventually was picked up by Premier Radio Networks, which Rush Limbaugh was with, Dr. Laura, Susie Orman, and all of those folks used my software.
Did you meet any of them?
I met Dr. Laura. She came into the station, and she's actually a Trekkie, by the way, big Trekkie. She came in almost like the president. She wanted her own fax machine, not just one fax machine, but two fax machines with numbers that only rang for her fax machine, couldn't have been shared. She wanted a kosher meal delivered, and she wanted her own entrance that no one else used. So we had to arrange for a certain private area for her to come in. So,
wow.
A little eccentric.
I know Ben Dieters asked for something like that. I don't,
yes.
Yeah, we're working on it. If it's not in the contract, you're not getting it, Dieter.
Oh, indeed.
It's looking back over your career and looking ahead towards radio. You know, there always seems to be these, every now and again, you'll see these stories, all radio is dead, radio is dying. How do you see the industry?
Well, it's certainly changing. You know, they say that about just about every industry. But, you know, if you adapt to what's changing in the industry, like, you know, they're saying you can't have AM, they're not putting AM radios in cars. Well, the broadcasters fought back, they lobbied against it, and now they're putting the radios back in the cars.
Mm-hmm.
You adapt to it.
It's true.
Getting computer software to do your audio because that was easier. You know, that's how they do it. Streaming is a big thing. So it's changing, but if you just go with the change and maybe even innovate that change, that's how you grow.
That's it. All right. So let's talk about the future. So you're retiring. Are you doing like the RV and getting in and traveling the national parks?
Well, I keep joking with my wife, Tammy. Hello, Tammy, if you're listening. I want to go see that big giant ball of string somewhere, travel and see that, which I don't know if exists, but the Griswolds saw it, you know. So, no, I'd
That's
like to
great.
Do a little traveling. I've been teaching myself guitar and piano,
And you do like karate stuff too,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do taekwondo. I'm a black belt. In fact, I'm going to go visit Phoenix where I got my black belt and surprise the head instructor there and walk in with my uniform here in a couple of weeks and say, hey, I'm back.
So, I love it. I saw you body slamming Dylan. I didn't know what that was all about.
Yeah,
the break.
He wouldn't get me a cup of coffee. And I said, okay, I warned you, you know.
That's it. You're done here, pal. That's yeah. Great. We got to get you. I know there's a new Star Trek movie coming out. Maybe we should get you a walk-on role or something you could try out.
That would be really cool. Now, that's one thing I want to do up in Ticonderoga, New York, if I'm saying that right, is a full replica of the original Star Trek bridge, the transporter, all of that. And it's a big event that you can go to daily.
Oh, wow.
I want to go see that.
All right. Well, it's really been a pleasure getting to know you over these years, Chuck. You've done a great job, and I can't thank you enough. And I know that you're, it really is sort of like a family around here, a very dysfunctional family some days, but it's a family.
Yeah.
And, if you decide one day that you're bored out of your gourd, come on by and we'll, let you tinker around with something.
All right. I can tune your microphone just the way you want. And, but yeah, it's been a pleasure and I appreciate you. You have helped me out a lot, as you know, and it's been good being here.
Wow, what a great career. It's been a lot of fun. All right, Chuck Condren, thank you. All right, live long and prosper. May the force be with you. Oh, wait a second. That's the wrong. Never mind. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Tom Starnes Radio Show. Yeah, we're going to miss old Chuck. Our very first, being a business owner, this is the first retirement we've had, so this has been sort of uncharted waters for us, but we're really excited for Chuck Condren, and we celebrate his great legacy here at KWAM in Memphis and, of course, on our national radio program as well. All right, this story from the New York Post, a 38-pound rescue cat named Crumbs got stuck in a shoe rack. This is a fascinating story. The cat named Crumbs had been sent off to what was basically a pet fat camp. So this is insane. This is a big cat, 38 pounds. Crumbs, and I will say this, I don't think that cat was just eating the crumbs. I think he was eating all the donuts and the eclairs. Anyway, there's photographs showing the cat wedged between the bars of a shoe rack, and his face was literally stuffed inside a bright blue Croc shoe. Oh, that's disgusting. Those shoes are disgusting. You can only imagine what they smell like. It's just terrible. So anyway, the veterinarian holding poor Crumbs says it's an extremely rare case when someone loved a cat so much they fed him to such a state. Wow, that's like the grandma that's feeding, the obese grandchild another cookie. That's disgusting. So anyway, the good news is that Crumbs is okay. According to the veterinarian, he was extremely displeased when we found him disguised as slippers after a... This is terrible. So Crumbs was trying to pretend that he was actually a Croc and hoping that he would be able to escape. By the way, most cats weigh around 10 pounds. So he was extremely morbidly obese. Now, for all you Haitians out there, I'm not divulging the name of the town or the city, but I think you could feed a family for a long time on Crumbs the cat. That's all I'm going to say to that. All right, there you go. ToddStearns.com, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, 5 o'clock tonight, we have the Newsmax show you can watch on all of the N2 platforms. And so hope you join us there. We're going to have some fun conversations. ToddStearns.com, any breaking news this weekend? We got a lot of crazy stories happening around the country. We're going to keep you updated on those stories as well over on our website, which is where you can find our free newsletter and our free podcast, again, over at DodgeTarns.com. Good old crumbs. Get him on the treadmill. All right, folks, it's been a great broadcast week. Get out there. Have a great Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend, America.